Ashirashtirahuvacha. Maharaja Yudhisthira inquired. Deva Rishi. O best saintly person among the demigods. Etat. This. Ichamaha. We wish. Vedetum. To know. Tava. From you. Suvrata. Having the determination for spiritual advancement. Yat. Because. Atmajaya. Unto his own son. Shudhaya. Who is pure and exalted. Pita. The father. Aranyakashipu. Adat. Gave. Sadhave. A great saint. He. Indeed. Adham, trouble. So translation, Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O best of the saints among the demigods, O best of spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakashipu give so much trouble to Pallad Maharaj, the pure and exalted saint, although Pallad was his own son? I wish to know about this subject from you. So you can repeat. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O best of the saints among the demigods, O best of spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakashipu give so much trouble to Pallad Maharaj? The pure and exalted saint. Although Pallad was his own son. I wish to know about this subject from you. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the characteristics of His pure devotees, one must inquire from authorities like Devarshi Narada. One cannot inquire about transcendental subject matters from a layman. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, 25th chapter, text 25, Satam Rasangan Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Vitkarna Rasayana Kataha. Only by association with devotees can one authoritatively understand the position of the Lord and his devotees. A devotee like Narada Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and vrata means vow. Thus the word suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. One cannot understand anything spiritual from a materialistic scholar puffed up with academic knowledge. As stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 55, Bhakcha Mama Vijanati. One must try to understand Krishna by devotional service and from a devotee. One must try to understand Krishna by devotional service and from a devotee. Yeah. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj was quite right in wanting to learn further about Pallad Maharaj from Sri Narada Muni. So, Sri Yudhisthira Vacha Devarshaita Richa Mahu Veditum Dava Suvrata Yaratma Jaya Shudhoiha Pitadat Sadaveyagam. So Umagana Timiranda Shaganan Jana Shlakaya Chakshur Militam Gena Tesmai Shigurave Namaha. First, I'll comment on the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport. Satam Sangam Mamavivi Sambhado Bhavanti Rikarna Rasayana Kata Tajoshinadashyopa Varga Vartmani Shrida Ratir Bhakti Anukramishati. This is, of course, spoken by Lord Kapiladev, and he gives the progressive path of devotional service in the last line of this particular stanza. that one, Sitambra Sangamamri, Vanti Rit Karna, Rasayana Kadetta Joshinarashu, Apavarga Vartmani, Shraddha Ratir Vapyanukra Mishati. That Shraddha, just like we hear about the progressive path of devotional service, Ado Shraddha, so it says Shraddha Ratir Vapyan Anukra Mishati. That the various stages of devotional service follow one after the other. Anukra Mishati means basically follow. So there's Shraddha, of course, according to the hierarchy described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's Ado Shraddha. In the beginning, there's some preliminary faith, the Ta Sadhu Sango Ta. Then one begins to associate with the devotees, and when you associate with the devotees, Bhajana Kriya, you perform Bhajana Kriya. And then when you're performing Bhajana Kriya, then you come, or not just come, but you work on anartana vritti, getting rid of the unwanted things in the heart, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, which we talked about the other day in relationship with the demons in Krishna's pastimes. And we also mentioned yesterday that the stories about Krishna and Krishna's devotees and killing the demons and whatever, we should apply to ourselves. In other words, we can learn something, application, from each and every one of these stories, which we'll talk about in a second in regard to Prahlad Maharaj and other stories of Vaishnavas. So so then after an Artha Vritti Shat, then one becomes Nishta, steady in devotional service. Because you can't be steady until you at least deal with the Anarthas. Because the Anarthas are actually causing causes the unsteadiness. You know, anarthas like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, they cause us to deviate from the path of devotional service. It may not cause us to break the regulated principles, but they'll cause us to succumb and perform activities that have nothing to do with devotional service. That's what I mean by deviation. And we all do that from time to time until we become more advanced in devotional service. We may get angry at someone. We may go to see a sporting game, we may go to see a soccer game or something like that, and that's all a manifestation that we haven't yet brought the anarthas under control, all those different things like that. Not that we want to beat ourselves up about it. On the other hand, you know, if one finds themselves, you know, watching Star Trek sometime, it's not that you should feel so guilty that you want to commit suicide. Not like the story about Junior Haridas, who happened to do something really, I mean, not really something so bad, and he committed suicide. So, you know, somehow or other we should come and watch CNN and see what the latest news is, or we watch a Star Wars movie or something like that. That doesn't mean that we should just simply feel so guilty that we want to give everything up. However, it's just an indication we have more to work on. If we have attraction for things other than Krishna, that means we have work to do. That's all. Take it as a challenge. Don't take it as something that depresses you. You know, I've been serving Krishna for so many years and I'm still attracted to watching Star Trek or Star Wars or soccer or rugby or whatever your Maya happens to be. Actually, Maya comes in many different flavors, like Baskin Robbins ice cream. So we all have our particular Maya that we're attracted to for some reason or another. But anyway, it just means it's a challenge, that's all. Just like a kshatriya, when he gets a challenge, he becomes very happy, he doesn't get depressed. Like Arjuna, is it very interesting? When Arjuna displayed his prowess after the students graduated from the school of Dronacharya, Arjuna was practically, he was the best. However, then all of a sudden Karna came and Karna challenged Arjuna, and of course Karna's challenge was dismissed at first because Karna had come from a Suta family, you know, one of these mixed families, low class family. His father was a chariot driver, Adirath. Actually, Adirath means one chariot. That's a generic name for a chariot driver, Adirath, one chariot. It's also the name of a fighter who can fight with one chariot at a time. There's Maharad, Atirad, all those these different distinctions for fighters. So anyway, so Karna, he was actually dismissed. You know, he's just a Suta from a Suta family. But then later on, he was appointed as a king by Duryodhana, Angadesh. He was the king of Anga, which is a faraway kingdom that Duryodhana had a right to. And then he continued to challenge Arjuna, and Arjuna just became enthusiastic when he heard that challenge. And actually, it states in the Gita that a Kshatriya becomes very happy when there's a challenge, an unsought challenge, isn't it? It's just like, wow, I got a challenge. Whereas a Brahmin, of course, he runs the other way. A Brahmin is not very much into fighting and competition. But a Brahmin is into competition, not so much competition, but challenges as far as spiritual life is concerned. So when we find these challenges, let's say if we're attracted to this or that Maya, then what we do is we further concentrate on our bhakti process. And this is also mentioned in the same verse that Lord Kapiladev is speaking in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. What does that mean? Satam prasangam, mama virya samvado. That one has to hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. It's more powerful. You know, certainly we have our japa, and of course it's good if we do japa in the association of devotees, but anyway, we have our japa, but to hear congregation, that's what sankirtan means. It doesn't mean just going out and distributing books, or just going out in the Harinam or whatever. It means to actually join in Krishna Katha with the devotees. Satam prasangam. That means the devotees, satam prasangam, in the association. And what do? They hear about mama virya samvidaha. That means talks about Krishna's heroic activities. Vira or virya means heroic. Just like Prabhupada gave me the name Veer, which is a Bengalicized pronunciation of Veer, which means heroic. Not that I'm heroic, but I'm a servant of the heroic Krishna. Mama virya samvidaha. And then by hearing in the association of devotees, from devotees, as Prabhupada makes the point here, then bhavanti vidkarna rasayana katha. Then what becomes is the heart and the karna. The karna actually means ear. It's interesting. So vidkarna, vid of course means heart, vidkarna. So there's a channel, Prabhupada describes there's a channel between the ear and the heart. And we're not talking about the eustachian tube. That only goes to the nose. You know what the eustachian tube is? No. The eustachian tube is something, whenever you have a cold, it gets clogged up, and your ears get clogged up, and and then it's not so good to fly in an airplane because, you know, the ears, you can't really pop the ears, or, you know, they won't equalize with the pressure. So that's one channel materially between the ears and the nose. But also, there's a channel there's a subtle channel between the ear and the heart. I mean, for example, let's say if you hear something that's not Krishna conscious, why does it contaminate you? Because this channel, that's why the hearing process is so powerful, insofar as purifying us or putrefying us, contaminating us. Because you hear something, the modes of nature enter directly into the heart. I mean, it's not as powerful as just touching something. I mean, let's say you touch something or someone who's in Maya. I mean, of course, there's some contamination there. But it's not just, you know, it's just like sometimes you go and shake someone's hand. You know, it's a business world. Or you do a fist bump with someone. Or you do a high five. Just like yesterday, I had some college students come to see me, so I did fist bumps with them. And so, you know, there's a little contamination. Just wash your hands afterwards. Soap and water and hydrochloric acid. No, I'm just joking. So you just wash your hands. I mean, whenever I end up doing something, I wash my hands. But you can't really wash the heart in the same way. Of course, with the chanting, you can. So when you hear something, like, even Krishna Katha, that's not spoken by someone who is Krishna conscious, it can poison the heart. Even there's that statement Sanatana Goswami gives. A Vaishnava Makod Girnam Putam Harikatam Mutam Shavana Naiva Kartamyam Sarpo Chishti Yatapayam. That if one hears about Krishna from someone who's not a devotee, let's say if you go to the university and there's a professor teaching about Krishna consciousness and he eats meat and he does so many abominable things and he doesn't believe in Krishna, it's actually going to hurt your faith, it's going to contaminate your heart. So even hearing about Krishna from someone who is not Krishna conscious can actually be contaminated. What to speak about hearing about mundane things? And you know, that's what we find described in the Upadeshamrita. One of the causes of the fall down is Prajalpa. It's interesting. You know, why would Prajalpa be, just a little relaxation, you know, talking about things that have nothing to do with Krishna. Let's just talk about the politicians, for example. I mean, a devotee should be aware of these things, but just spend all the time just like... Of course, sometimes it's necessary to talk Prajalpa if you're going to be confronting someone who would commit offenses otherwise. That's been my experience. When sometimes dealing with family members, if I talk about Krishna, they'll actually commit offenses. So I just say, oh, let's just talk about politics. Let's just talk about Donald Trump today. But that's definitely Prajalpa. So even talking Prajalpa Nimagra, as Rupa Goswami states, Achyahara Prayasascha Prajalpa Nimagra. So Prajalpa is a cause of fall down, a deviation from devotional service. Achyahara, you know, collecting too much or eating too much or over-endeavoring for mundane things, Prajalpa Nimagra. Bad association, again, there's that same thing. Janasangas, associating with ordinary people. Or hankering, even hankering for something mundane. Now, lalyam. Of course, lalyam, when applied towards Krishna, is actually a cause of spiritual advance, but that's actually the price of pure devotional service, like lalyam of tears. So anyway, so hearing, the hearing process is very, very important to understand this dynamic between the ear and the heart. I mean, just directly, in fact, that's why it's more important than seeing any of the senses. Of course, we use the senses to serve Krishna, you know, Savaya Manap Krishna Padarav Indio, as described by about Maharaj Yudhis, Maharaj Ambarish, sorry. The Maharaj Ambarish went to the temple, he saw the beautiful form of the Lord, he engaged his hands and touched the lotus feet of the devotees, and serving the devotees, engaged his feet and walking to the temple, he engaged his ear is also hearing Krishna Katha. His nose is smelling the flowers and the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality. All these are potent things. But the most potent is sound vibration. You can change someone's consciousness with sound. That's why Prabhupada emphasized book distribution. That's why you even see whenever there's a revolution in a country that's accomplished by propagation of information, you know, sound vibration, you know, subtle. Even when you read, of course, that subtle sound vibration. So just like Prabhupada gave the example of the communist revolution in Russia. You know, you had Karl Marx. And Maoist revolution in China. Because everyone was... In China, you had all these... Communists, which is practically everyone, when Mao Zedong was there, they were all waving this thing called the Little Red Book. You remember that? Anyone remembers that from the old days? Like if you see a picture in the newspaper, they all held up this little red book of Mao Zedong, like that. It's just like devotees should be doing that, you know, holding up Bhagavad Gita like this. Like this, we should have rallies like that. In other words, they had millions and millions of people just holding up this little red book and that sound vibration. And of course, that sound vibration contaminated, you know, everybody. Or what to speak of Hitler? Hitler accomplished everything. I mean, he had his mudras too. You know. Mudra, like that. That was his mudra. But everything was by sound vibration. You know, he's very expert in manipulating sound vibration and contaminating people's minds. And a whole country became contaminated by sound vibration. I mean, they became crazy. He was able to make a whole country insane. Can you imagine that, how potent sound vibration is? You can't do that by vision. You can't make a whole country insane by showing them something. And also you see the modern day politicians, I don't want to mention Donald Trump again, but anyway, they're just creating craziness in society by this sound vibration. So sound, in other words, the point I'm making is the same point made by Lord Kapiladev of Bhavanti Hrikarna, the channel between the ear and the heart. It really directly affects you. Very, very important point. So, if we hear from devotees, as Prabhupada said, one can understand the position of the Lord and his devotees. So this is the key. Now, the second point is, why is Yudhisthira Maharaj interested in hearing about Prahlad Maharaj? And doesn't it hurt someone's faith to hear how a great teacher or great personality like Prahlad Maharaj is suffering so much? I mean, you're just like thinking, these devotees, they're suffering so much. I mean, how is it that God's there? You know, and a similar question is asked in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the devotees of Krishna, you know, generally they're impoverished, and the devotees of Lord Shiva, they're generally, you know, pretty well off. So why is this? You know, why is it? So we have to really ask the question, why Prahlad Maharaj was subject to this? Not only Prahlad Maharaj, but you see so many great devotees who are subjected to intense suffering. Or maybe because they're absorbed in Krishna, it's not intense suffering, but at least from the external viewpoint, they're subjected to so many problems in their activities. And you would think, you know, you worship God, because this is the standard American version of worshiping God, then the proof that you have God's mercy is that you're wealthy, healthy, and, you know, just happy. Isn't it? I mean, in the modern churches, that's taken as proof. In fact, when I was young, there was this one Buddhist group where they would chant this mantra, and they would all meet each week to discuss what they had obtained that week by chanting the mantra. This specific, anyway, the mantra was Namyaho Regnik. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Do you remember that? It's interesting. And they would meet together, yes, this week. And of course, in Hinduism, we have Satyanarayan Katha. And of course, a modern version, without God is the secret. That's without God. So they had this whole, I mean, this is an American version of religion. American version of religion is that you are the God and the whole universe is meant to serve you. It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, there's this movie, The Secret, that actually portrayed things of the universe. It had the universe portrayed like Aladdin's genie. Everybody knows Aladdin? Aladdin, he rubbed his lamp and the genie came out and said, "What your wish is my desire." So the universe is, so in other words, you're God. And if you want something enough, it's going to happen. You know, you're up to karma. You know, whatever you desire will happen just because you're desiring, because all the energies are actually your first-class servants. Really crazy. The opposite of Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, so people become a little disturbed when they hear how these devotees are suffering like this, or apparently suffering. You know, Prahlad Maharaj being tortured by his father, and what's the speaker of the emotional distress that an ordinary child would experience. Let's say if your father just, I mean, apart from the physical stuff that happened to Prahlad Maharaj, but if your father did those things to you, I mean, a child needs the love of his father. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj didn't suffer because he understood that Krishna was his father. He had that relationship with Lord Nrsimhadev. But from an external viewpoint, it's very confusing for people to see. If you don't really know Krishna consciousness, you're thinking, you know, you become a devotee and that happens. Or, you know, what to speak of the Pandavas, you know, the greatest devotees of the Lord, and, you know, Arjuna, the friend of Krishna. I mean, Krishna's your buddy, and he's allowing these things to happen. That the children, so many attempted murders and burning in the house, the lack, and poisoning, Bhim saying, I mean, it's incredible. Or losing the gambling match, having your wife attempted to be disrobed in the assembly place. I mean, it's just, wow. Who's going to want to be a devotee after hearing this stuff? In fact, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the same point is made by Yudhisthira Maharaj. Narada Muni is praising Yudhisthira Maharaj in the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that you are a great devotee, you're the greatest devotee. And Yudhisthira Maharaj says, no. He says, why? Because when people hear about our difficulties, it discourages them from taking up Krishna consciousness. So what's happening there? I mean, why is this happening? So we'll attempt to explain why the devotees put in difficulty. Of course, one reason is, of course, Yashahamanu Pranamiha Riche Tadanamshana, that my devotee, I take away everything, the reason being that it helps him take shelter of me rather than of society, friendship, and love, because that particular verse states that everyone rejects him. Like Prabhupada, in the Vrindavan Bhajan, you find this same mood that Prabhupada is portraying. He's saying, you know, I had my family, this, this, and that, but they're all fruitless glory because I have no money. Like, if you have no money, you'll discover who are your real friends. If you have money, you have so many friends. Everybody's interested. Just like, I'm just to use an interesting example, Ambarish, our devotee, he came to Mayapur, and they had like elephants greeting him, and you know, it was just like, wow, it's like God coming to Mayapur. I mean, he's a great devotee. I'm not decrying his devotional stature. But, you know, there are many great devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. And when they come to Mayapur, there's none of these elephants or blowing of conches or anything like that. It's just like, you know, pick up your bags, Maharaj. So, maybe not that bad. But still, you know, so obviously it has something to do with his having money, isn't it? I mean, that's a no-brainer. He's a no, you know, he's not a sannyasi. You know, he's a great devotee. You know, all respects, pure devotee, but, you know, it has something to do with money. You know, actually, when my father passed away, I thought I was going to inherit a lot of money. I thought I would get the same sort of reception. But he didn't leave me anything except for a gun. So still nobody received me. I couldn't go there with a gun. Nobody received me. So the point is, when Krishna takes away everything, then you see who really cares for you. You don't have any money, you can't give any more donations. Just like if some really big man comes to the temple, rich man, you know, I'll come out of my house, arrange a big reception, a special meal to be made for him. But if some ordinary guy comes in, then, you know, he'll be lucky if he gets a fig as a prasadam. Although Prabhupada did say we should have like big plates of prasadam ready for anybody who comes at any time. But anyway, that's a different subject matter. So that's one reason if someone is like that. So, but then you may say, and also helps one take shelter in Krishna. He understands his only shelter is the holy names. But then you may say, what if it's a pure devotee? He's already taken shelter of Krishna. He doesn't need to go through that. You know, why do that to a pure devotee? Like Prabhupada, Lord Maharaj, already a pure devotee. I can understand why Krishna does it to me. You know, because I need it. But I don't understand why Prabhupada and Krishna have to be subject. I mean, not Krishna, but why Prabhupada and Vlad Maharaj and others have to be subject to it. Well, several reasons. One is it actually glorifies the devotee. Prabhupada one time was asked that same question, you know, why the devotee is subject to some, pure devotee subject to so much difficulty? And Prabhupada said, without opposition, where's the chance for glorious victory? In other words, let's say a famous basketball star, Michael Jordan, right? Heard of Michael Jordan? He comes and he plays against the Hillsborough High School. You know, it's a no-brainer. or the Harlem Globetrotters. You heard of them before? They're really expert, you know, throwing the ball. It's really amazing people. And so they play against the Hillsborough High School team. You know, Hare Krishna. It's not going to be interesting. It's just a slam dunk, as they say. So if you want something to be interesting, they got to play against, there has to be some challenge there. Nobody wants to see a wrestling match or a football game. I mean, let's say a wrestling match between Hulk Hogan and, you know, like a 90-pound weakling. Like me. Let's say Hulk Hogan was wrestling me. You know Hulk Hogan? He was wrestling me. It's not interesting. Because I'll just run away. It won't even be a wrestling match. So it has to be someone in the same category. The same category as him. So in other words, there has to be some opposition and you know, just different interesting dramatic things. And these glorify a devotee. When there's a challenge, it glorifies someone. You know, that's natural. It's boarding games and life and movies, whatever. There has to be a challenge. So it glorifies the pure devotee. Okay, that's one reason. Another reason is the pure devotee. One of the reasons pure devotees come down is to show us or give us an example how to be devotees. You know, how to deal with all these difficulties. Like Prabhupada comments in regard to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even though he's God, he came to teach us like a teacher. Like a teacher will go to the blackboard and he'll say, "Class, how much is one and one?" He knows. But he's acting, it's a rhetorical question. You know, rhetorical means he knows the answer, but basically he wants to bring it out from the answer. It's also called the Mayudic system of education. Mayudic means like midwife. You bring something out from someone. So even Lord Chaitanya, he's acting like a devotee. For our example, you know, he does, you know, he had challenges. He had to leave his hearth and home. He means God, and he had to leave a loving mother and wife. And, you know, at a young age. And so he's showing us by example, not that everyone should leave like that, but like Prabhupada, all these difficulties he went through, having the Jhansi program taken away from him, being gored by a bull, and losing all of his money and his business, the cheaters. He's just showing us how to respond. You know, there's the example. It's his glorification. Krishna's glorifying Prabhupada by all these different interactions. But also, he's showing us. Prahlad Maharaj, when he's being subjected to these difficulties, and certainly I don't think most of us are going to be subjected to the same difficulties Prahlad Maharaj was subject to. I don't know what would happen if someone tried to throw me in a vat of boiling oil. We have these big pots now in the temple we got for Janmashtami. They're actually big enough to do that with. I was looking at them and thinking, you know, we should use them for a play about Prahlad Maharaj. They are big enough, isn't it? You could fit a devotee in them. And so, I don't know how I would, I'm not ready for that. I have to be honest. Someone did that, I don't know what I would do. You know, but Prahlad Maharaj is showing, he's taking chances, just chanting Hare Krishna, depending on Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us about the surrendering practices, you know, to accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, to understand the Lord is always protecting and maintaining one. And Prahlad Maharaj exhibits this. How do we understand those principles? By seeing Prahlad Maharaj's example, by seeing Srila Prabhupada's example, by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, by seeing Haridas Thakur's example. I mean, that's how we know what devotional service is, how to confront the difficulties that will arise in this world by seeing how the devotees do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know how to deal with being in a vat of oil or thrown off a cliff or what, or, you know, or being attacked. Actually, the most painful thing in this world is being attacked by people who you're close to. It's described that that's actually like a knife in the heart. It's more painful than the harsh words of someone are actually much more painful than a knife in the heart. That's a fact. So we are subject to difficulties. They will come. And we have to read these stories about Prahlad Maharaj. And it's very inspiring to see Prahlad Maharaj's surrender and a dedication to the process of bhakti in spite of all these difficulties. So these are different reasons why a pure devotee has to undergo these difficulties, even absolutely pure devotees. So we have about 1 minute left. Any questions or comments? Or yes?
I was just wondering about this reception of the elephants and all the contacts.
Yeah.
How that is giving the wrong, sending the wrong message.
I agree.
And why? It's only no better.
Yeah, it does.
In private, I can understand what it's like in private, but you know, as a public display that goes against the principles of the Lord.
I agree, and he doesn't need it. He's a great devotee. I mean, he has his orders from Prabhupada, and he will do it regardless of how much glorification he gets. So yeah, I agree. It doesn't send the right message. It doesn't send the right message to have so much unequal glorification between devotees. Even, you know, we should glorify all the devotees. It's not that even apart from Ambarish, let's say. We have many gurus in our movement, and everyone should get equal glorification like that. It creates the wrong impression. It creates the wrong impression. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was too much. I thought it was too much, because I was thinking, I want that. No, I wasn't. I wasn't thinking that. I'd be embarrassed. If they did that with me, I'd run the other direction.